Why is it that we insist on complicating God's plan for us? You know, in the gospel, we hear today of son saying no at first and then doing what the father asked. And then the other son saying yes, but then not doing it. It seems to me that there's really a much better option, much simpler, and that's following the example of Jesus. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not yes and no, but yes has been in him." In other words, Jesus wasn't like either of the two sons in the gospel. He was always yes to the Father. I think sometimes, you know, we can identify the choices in our lives. You know, this is a big choice and this is a little choice. And then we'll use that to justify and say it's okay to consciously say no to God in some of the little choices. But is there anything small when it comes to saying no to God? God, through Ezekiel, wants the people to understand that every choice that they make either fosters or damages their relationship with God. There's no middle ground for a person to say no to God. But it's more than just the impact it has on us. It affects all those around us. If you want to do something, the best thing you can do for your children, then live a life of virtue. Christian songwriter Sarah Groves, in her song Generations, writes, "Remind me that with every decision, that generations will reap what I sow. I can pass on a curse or a blessing to those I will never know." Like Adam and Eve's fateful choice, our yes and our no can have far-reaching consequences. Of course, we know there's a danger when you say yes to somebody. You know, when somebody asks you for something and you say yes, then you encourage them in the future to ask you again. And that could be such an inconvenience. But aren't we supposed to love our neighbor? Hear what we heard in that second reading again. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. Each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. That right there is one of the simple secrets of the saints. They said yes to God, and again, and again. And through yes by yes, God did great things through them and in them. You know, Mother Teresa would relate, she said, "I never would have picked up the 1,000th person on the street had I not said yes to the first one." I challenge you to pick up and read a detailed biography of the life of a saint and tell me that you don't experience a desire well up in your heart for God to do through you what he did through them. The problem is that many of us don't want to give God that kind of an open-ended yes. But why? Are we afraid that God is going to take advantage of us? That's impossible. God can only do good things and great things and loving things through us. You know, in my late 20s, when God was awakening my faith, it was a book on the life of St. John Vianney that inspired me. You know, I read of the miracles he was performing and the thousands of people whose lives were changed because he was always ready to say yes. And every once in a while I'm praying, I think, you know, God, it would be great if you would do something like that in my life. And he says, "I understand. It would be great if you said yes to me the way John Vianney did." Of course, he's right. It's what we heard in the second reading. Have in you the same attitude that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is exalted before God the Father because he laid down his life for everyone. Even though he's God, even though nothing exists without him, Jesus regarded others as more important than himself. Ultimately, God wants us to do things more than just being yes for ourselves. Why do we complicate it? Well, the answer is really simple, is we tend to be selfish. That's what the choice of Adam and Eve did. It made us self-centered. You know, occasionally my wife will ask me to do her some favor, which would be a small inconvenience, and I catch myself saying no. And I regret it. You know, and sometimes I'll shamefully change my response to yes, but by then that opportunity for greater graces has already been lost. Thankfully, like my wife, God is used to his plan not always happening in a straight line. Sometimes we disobey or we refuse, and then we experience a change of heart, like the first son. It's good that we repent, but there's a better way. God is inviting us to imitate the yes of Jesus and of the saints. And to be sure, trying to be yes always to God is difficult at first. But as we get better at it, it unlocks a door to greater peace in our lives. Because there's more anxiety going through life trying to get things the way I want it. It is more stressful trying to arrange the things in the world and to control the people around me so that I can get my way, only to see the things that I obtained get old or break, or to have that satisfaction of accomplishment fade. And then not learning my lesson, I do it again and again, and I watch my life get consumed with little or nothing of eternal value to show for it. What do we really gain by saying yes to the world and no to God? At the wedding feast of Cana, when Mary went to Jesus and said, "They have no wine," she didn't know what Jesus was going to do. She just gave the guidance to the servers at the wedding. Do whatever he tells you. Mary knew that whatever Jesus would tell them would be the best way. The response of the servants at the wedding is a clear reminder that saying yes to God is more than just saying no to sin. You know, now that my last child has moved out, there are fewer temptations to sin in my household and more opportunities to say yes to God. And I have to ask myself, does it seem right from now on that I would just sit at home and only say no to sin? Or should I also strive to be yes to God more often, to do whatever he tells me in serving the needs of others? The same is true for all of us. That's why Mary is such a powerful example and advocate for us. She was always yes to God in a spirit of humility and trust. Her response was, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." We're more familiar with the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Both of those are fantastic responses. We know the right words. Now let us follow it up with being yes to God in our decisions and in our deeds. We can begin here at Mass, saying yes to the truths that are revealed in the profession of the faith, giving ourselves to God along with the gifts that are on the altar, saying yes to him, opening our hearts to him when we receive him in the Eucharist, and saying yes to the call at the end of Mass to go and announce the gospel of the Lord. By doing so, we will pass on a blessing to many people that we know and many others we will never know this side of eternity.